friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is international athletics. The IAAF World Championships officially opened Friday in Doha, Qatar. During Tuesday's show, the IAAF president, two-time Olympic champion Sebastian Coe of Britain, said anywhere up to 40 countries have a chance of winning medals in Doha. One country hoping to get on the podium is Uganda. Ugandan officials say their athletes have trained well and will use the recent Africa Games in Morocco to perform well in Qatar. Joining us now from Kampala with more on the Ugandan team is reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinj.
Uganda's team is comprised of 22 runners, 12 males and 10 females. Shida Rena was part of Uganda's team that won a bronze in 400 meters relays at the just concluded All African Games in Rabat, Morocco, and finished in 6th position at the finals in 400 meters race. Despite scooping a medal, Rena describes that as a poor performance.
I've got a lot of experience from All Africa Games, so I know if I work on where my weaknesses are, I can improve on my PB. That's my personal best. So I didn't perform all that well. I was 6th in finals and I got bronze in 4x4 relay, so that's not my target.
Her coach, Paul Okello, says Rena is not short of speed. He says he has worked with her on her endurance and believes she'll do better at the world event.
The whole season she has been very fit, and she should be able, once she gets to run the time within her personal best, she will progress probably up to the semi-final and even final. When you get to the final, anything can happen. The championship races are very tricky, and it's not like this Diamond League, so anybody is capable of winning in a championship. So I hope for the best for her.
Okello says Uganda has made hopes in several runners, including 2018 Commonwealth 10,000 gold medalist Stella Chesang.
We have done enough training, and now it is remaining competition. And we are well prepared. We have been in the camp for 2 months, and we have done enough training. And I'm sure we are going to perform well.
Stephen Chisa, Uganda team captain, agrees. Chisa, who will be competing in 10,000 meters category, says Ugandans are now a big force to reckon in athletics, just like fellow South African counterparts, Kenyans and Ethiopians.
There are people like Cheptegei, Joshua, and Stella Chesang, the likes of Perus, and Jebet Rachel. Those people, they are also there. I know those guys, the Kenyans and the Ethiopians, really, they are very tough, and really, we shall battle with them. They are going to battle with them.
Abdallah Mohamed, Uganda's head coach, says athletes are well aware of what is at stake.
Apart from the fact that we want medals, but also it's an event that is very rewarding for the athletes. When you win a medal, it can change your life. Apart from that monetary benefit you get, there's also other things that you can be able to win. So the athletes have been very responsive. We have prepared them well enough, and we expect to get some good results.
At least 2,000 top athletes will compete at the Doha Championships for 192 medals across various sports disciplines. Gold winners get up to $150,000 in prize money and sponsorship deals. There is also $100,000 for grabs for record breakers at this year's event. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Magume Davis Rakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume. Another African country hoping to get on the podium in Doha is Nigeria. Team Nigeria has been shut out in terms of medals at the last two World Championships, London 2017 and Beijing 2015. The last Nigerian athlete to medal at the World Championships was Blessing Okagbare, who won a silver in the women's long jump and a bronze in the women's 200 meters at Moscow 2013. Iron Mike Mbonye joins us now from Lagos with more on the Nigerian team for Doha 2019.
Gabriel Okon is a coach and member of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. He says Team Nigeria is determined to get a podium performance and qualify for the Tokyo Olympic Games at the World Athletics Championship.
Our aim of going here is to make sure that we win some medals and most of all to get into the finals so we can have a shot at getting into the podium. But also we want to make sure that we qualify some athletes for next year Olympics. So that's basically our goal, to get on the podium and qualify for next year Olympics.
Okon says Nigeria will compete in 3 relays. 4x1 men and women, and 4x4 women. He says Nigeria will also compete in the 100 meters men, 200 meters men, and women long jump. Team Nigeria to the World Athletics Championship comprises 26 athletes, 6 coaches, and some members of the Athletics Federation. Ishekiri Ushorise is a Nigerian sprinter who won bronze at the 12th All-African Games in Rabat, Morocco. He says the sprint event is becoming very competitive because of the number of athletes aspiring to win the medals.
The sprint is becoming very complicated. So I would say for Africa, we have 4 men under 10 seconds already. So now in the world, you have about 19 people going under 10 seconds. So it's a very competitive event and it's a world championships. Everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants to be the best. Everybody wants to be the fastest man in the world. So it's the best championship you can ever imagine. The highest level of competition is there.
Joy Udo Gabriel is a member of Nigeria's 4x100 women relay team. She says Team Nigeria has potentials to win medals at the World Athletics Championship.
Yes, this is athletics. Anything can happen. It's a relay race combined with 4 people. So it's not just one person running it. So things are obviously going to happen there. And, you know, surprises are going to spring up too. So I am hoping that we'll be able to, you know, spring up surprise.
The 2019 World Athletics Championship runs from September 27 to October 6 in Doha, Qatar. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos.
Thanks, Iron Mike. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
My name is Jodo Gabriel. I am a sprinter. I partake in the 100 meters and the 4x1 for Nigeria. I want to give a special shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Jamaican hurdler Omar McLeod will be defending his 110 meters world title in Doha. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Omar in London ahead of the World Championships. Here's Andy.
Well, Omar McLeod is the Olympic and world champion in the high hurdles from Jamaica. And I'd like to pick up on something you've been talking about today, the physicality, the physical contact sport, which is high hurdling. Now, give us an insight into what that means.
Yeah, it is a contact sport. Like, and I've proven it over the years. You guys have seen me over and over. Every season always is like the same, where, you know, I'll start out really good and then falter along the way. Every year I'll probably fall over a hurdle or two. You know what I mean? Not intentionally, but it happens. And it just goes to show you that hurdling is so, especially, you have to be very graceful with it. It's such a delicate event where it's like, if you're not on, you're going to be off.
When you see the lane draws, whether it's heats or a final, yeah. I mean, obviously, you're on the circuit a lot, very experienced, big name. Mm-hmm. Do you ever look and think, oh, I know that guy next to me or that guy there, you know, they can be, shall we say, a bit untidy in their technique.
Yeah.
So you have to, I mean, do you have to be aware of other people? But, you know, it's so precise and so fast. Mm-hmm. How do you combine that?
That's a great question, because what my agents know, when I go to a meet, just tell me the lane that I'm in. because I know exactly what I need to do in the race. My job is to get out in front of everybody and control the race. If I do that, I don't have to worry about who's beside me. I never care for who. I don't want to know who's beside me, you know? And just like, it's just like, you know who's gonna, you kind of know who's gonna be beside you just because of like their name. So, you know, like, you know, the top names are always in the middle, you know, so you kind of know who's gonna be, you can use that, you know, it's like you've been in the sport for so long, you know that the top three is gonna be in the middle. But like I said, I'm very aware of my competitors. I respect them so much, but when I go to meets, that's not my job. I cannot worry about who's beside me. I know I need to worry about getting in front of the everybody and try to control the race.
Just lastly, of course, you're returning to the stadium, London Stadium, where you won that world title a couple of years ago. What memories do you have of that and the kind of all the build-up to the World Championships?
The memory I have is winning, obviously. And then one of the other memories, me and my mom, you know, is being here and she getting to watch me from the sideline, from the finish line, watch me win. That was like one of the marquee moments in my life, you know, just as a mom, seeing your child accomplishing a dream that I've always wanted. It was a special thing for me, and I was happy that she was there to be a part of that. And, you know, that's why this is just, this place is just special. Very, very special.
Omar, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Omar McLeod, the Olympic and world champion hurdler from Jamaica. And this Sunny Side of Sports programming note, the energetic Andy Edwards is packing his bags for Germany and coverage of Sunday's BMW Berlin Marathon. Andy says one of the favorites for the men's title is Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele, who won the 2016 race in the German capital in a personal best time of 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 3 seconds. An update now on the Rugby World Cup in Japan. The tournament delivered its first big shock on Wednesday when Minnows Uruguay held on for a historic 30-27 victory over Fiji in Kamaishi, Japan. Uruguay had not won a World Cup match since beating Georgia in 2003, and tears of joy flowed from the winning team after the referee blew the final whistle. The last time these two teams faced each other, Fiji stormed to a comfortable 68-7 victory. But it was a different story on Wednesday. Uruguay's Felipe Berchese was the player of the match. Felipe plays the fly half position, and he had 12 carries, 86% kicking success, and 8 tackles. Talk to us, Felipe!
I think we show we are a really proud nation. We work together as a team. I think they had really good individualities, but we played together as a team today. I'm really proud of the boys and great effort today. It's unreal because I think it's our first victory to a Tier 1 country. We got 60 points against them in November. They made several changes against us today. I don't know. It's an outstanding. It's a really good day for Uruguayan rugby today. I hope everybody could see it and everybody joins to play rugby in Uruguay. We need more players. We are a really small union. But we keep showing the world that we're in a good place, and they have to support us because we prove ourselves strong today.
Uruguayan rugby definitely proved itself strong on Wednesday. Once again, the final score from Kamaishi, Uruguay 30, Fiji 27. It was Uruguay's first victory at the Rugby World Cup since 2003 when the South Americans beat Georgia. Uruguay will next play Georgia on September 29th, while Fiji will face Georgia on October 3rd. The Rugby World Cup will continue on Thursday with 2 matches. Italy will take on Canada, and England will go against the United States. It'll be the opening match for both the Americans and the Canadians. Italy beat Namibia 47-22 in its first match, while England topped Tonga 35-3. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The president of European football had a big announcement Tuesday regarding UEFA's top club tournament. Joining us with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Speaking at a news conference in Slovenia, UEFA President Alexander Seferin announced the cities that will host the next three Champions League finals and more. Drum roll, please.
2021 UEFA Champions League final goes to St. Petersburg. 2022 UEFA Champions League final goes to Munich. 2023 UEFA Champions League final goes to London, Wembley. 2021 UEFA Europa League final goes to Sevilla. 2021 UEFA Super Cup goes to Belfast.
The 2021 St. Petersburg final will be the second for Russia. The first was played in Moscow in 2008. The 2022 final will also be a second for Munich, having hosted their first in 2012. And in 4 years, Wembley Stadium will host the 2023 Champions League final for the eighth time. The 2020 Europa League semifinals and final are also set to take place at Wembley. And with Euro 2020 qualifiers well underway, Seferin noted the logistical challenges of organizing that tournament.
It's very challenging for us to organize an event like that. We have different legislation. We have visas and non-visa system. We have European Union and non-European Union. We have Brexit, which we don't know if it's European Union or not. So it's quite challenging, and I don't think that we should organize such a big event. It's symbolically very nice. It's pan-European. It's east-west, north-south. It's 60 years. But to do it every time, I would say, too challenging.
Seferin also used his news conference to draw a tough line on women's rights. FIFA has recently made a push for Iranian women to be allowed to attend an upcoming World Cup qualifying match in Tehran. However, on Tuesday, the UEFA president urged member federations not to play in countries where the basic rights of women are not respected.
As much as we know, two countries in the world don't allow women and girls to watch football. We cannot punish anyone if they play against it. It's out of our jurisdiction. It's FIFA's jurisdiction. But that doesn't mean that we should be quiet and say we can't do anything and we develop European football. So our advice to 55 associations and all the clubs and ECA representatives were here will be not to play there or with the teams from those countries where the basic rights of women are not respected. And the representatives of clubs and the representatives of the leagues agreed with us.
Hosting rights for the Champions League finals are usually awarded 1 year at a time. But with three host cities now confirmed, it signals a shift to long-term planning for the biggest club game in soccer. Istanbul, Turkey is already set to host the 2019-2020 Champions League final next May. And as you heard, the 2021 Europa League final will take place in Seville, Spain. And the city of Belfast in Northern Ireland will play host to the Super Cup that same year. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
My name is Jean Seninde with Queen's Park Rangers Women and the Uganda National Team. Listen to Sunny Side of Sport with Voice of America.
Voice of America.
here in Washington, Tuesday night proved to be a very good night for two of the city's sports teams, the Washington Mystics and the Washington Nationals. The Mystics beat the host Las Vegas Aces 94-90 to return to the Women's National Basketball Association Finals. And the Nationals swept a doubleheader against the visiting Philadelphia Phillies to clinch a berth in the Major League Baseball playoffs. I'll have more on the Mystics, but first, the AP's Craig Heist has this report on the Nationals.
Trey Turner hit a grand slam homer in the sixth inning off Jared Hughes to bring the Nationals from behind, and they beat the Phillies 6-5 to sweep their day-night doubleheader and clinch a National League wildcard berth. Max Scherzer allowed four runs over six innings and struck out 10 to improve to 11-7. Turner says it didn't look good for the Nationals early in the year, but they never stopped believing.
When we were 19-31, we talked about how we were going to laugh at everybody else outside this clubhouse for everything they said about us, and, you know, we're here now.
Brad Miller homered twice and drove in four runs for the Phillies while Aaron Nola took the loss. The Nats won the opener 4-1 as Anthony Rendon drove in two runs with a pair of sacrifice flies. Craig Heist, Washington.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The top-seeded Washington Mystics will play the second-seeded Connecticut Sun in Game 1 of the Women's National Basketball Association Finals on Sunday here in Washington. The Mystics advanced to the WNBA Finals for the second year in a row with a hard-fought 94-90 win Tuesday night against the host Las Vegas Aces. Washington won the best-of-five series 3-1. WNBA League Most Valuable Player Elena Delladon led the Mystics with 25 points Tuesday night, including 5 3-point baskets. And Belgian forward Emma Mieseman added 22 points for the Mystics, who were swept by the Seattle Storm in 3 straight games in the 2018 WNBA Finals. Meanwhile, the Connecticut Sun advanced to this year's WNBA Finals by sweeping the Los Angeles Sparks in 3 straight games. Both Connecticut and Washington will be bidding for their first WNBA championship. More football news. One day after winning FIFA's Best Player Award for a record 6th time in Milan, Italy, Lionel Messi hurt his left leg in Barcelona, Spain. Messi was substituted at halftime of his first start for Barcelona after a long layoff because of a leg muscle problem. The superstar from Argentina hurt his left leg less than 30 minutes into the La Liga match against Villarreal on Tuesday. Messi left the field and doctors attended to his leg for a few minutes before he returned to action and finished the half. Messi didn't play in the second half, though, and was replaced by Ousmane Dembele. Messi set up Antoine Griezmann's opening goal, and Barcelona won 2-1 to move into 4th place with 10 points from 6 matches. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of none other than Lionel Messi, Jill Ellis, Jurgen Klopp, and Megan Rapinoe. They were 4 of the big winners at that FIFA awards ceremony in Milan. Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, checks in at my Facebook page. Magnus writes, "Thumbs up to all the winners. Jurgen Klopp has been fantastic, fantastic with Liverpool. Though I'm not a Liverpool fan," writes Magnus, "I recall how tough it was watching Jurgen Klopp walk that tight EPL tightrope. I love it." The humble apostle checking in once again from Nigeria. And that wraps up the September 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Justin Thwaite. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, world leaders gather in New York for the United Nations General Assembly, plus growing Africa's agriculture. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to Ndombolo and Makossa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
We recently reported on the discovery of the second known interstellar visitor to our solar system. The object, initially dubbed C-2019-Q4, was discovered by Gennady Borisov on August 30, 2019, with a 0.6-meter telescope he built himself. Since its discovery, astronomers around the world have been observing what appears to be a comet. They have computed its orbit and have determined that it is indeed of interstellar origin. The International Astronomical Union, an organization recognized as the authority for naming celestial bodies, has given the object an official name, 2I Borisov. While the comet is heading toward the sun, astronomers say it will only make it to a point that's a bit beyond the orbit of Mars before its trajectory takes it out of the solar system and returns to interstellar space. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Hi, VOA's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of some of the world's greatest experts on international issues. But you don't have to tune in at broadcast time. Listen when you want. Just go to voanews.com. Click the Programs tab and scroll down to International Edition.
Voice of America!
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.